Zoning Board of Appeals meeting for the town of Murrow for Wednesday evening, May 27th.
Okay, so they're loading on the lot, not on the road.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. We're stickers about that. We need to get our property and the back property that we had on the going on as well.
One of the concerns that was brought up in the last meeting was about access. Is there a way that we can make sure it's defined? Because right now it's like a grassy area off the side of Route 9, and there's really no way to kind of make sure the cars and trucks go in from the ends. So is there some way that we could put up, is like maybe some grass there or something, just something that makes it so that you've got an entrance on one side and an entrance on the other side, and it's not just across the entire space. I know that was a concern.
Well, there's actually a divider just in between. I think there's built, if I'm right, there are three entrances there.
Is it three?
Yes,
at least
three. Yes, yeah. It's three. I forget what they call it, but the town, they put them there years ago.
Oh, there's like a barrier? I mean, it's paying attention. It's like a curb
island. It's separated by 10 feet in between the two ones. You can't have three in between.
You got three entrances. Well, then that's.
So, and that was one of the things we did talk about last time, Mr. Smith, is we talked about specifically site improvements. It's a prominent corner in the town. It's next to a prominent business, obviously. We talked about improvements in some way, shape, or form. We're trying to pretty that up, make it look like something. We were holding back from demanding asphalt. But no, we were talking about potentially fencing, landscaping, and the small, short fence he would propose. We talked about maybe some planter boxes, if people knew that wasn't an entrance, but actually a grassy area, to the other point there. And I'm just kind of surprised that you don't have a new plan, you can devise anything as far as directional signage, landscape plan, beautification, no site improvements. You're basically just going to throw down gravel, and that's the only site improvement you're willing to, I mean, that's not exactly what we discussed last time, but I just want to make sure I understand that. You have no intention of any other site improvements besides potentially putting down some new gravel?
That's correct. It's just going to be used to transport a lot.
Okay, so, and that was my concern. We talked about that last time too, Mr. Smith, was there are caretakers at the size of the lot across the corner. They also have one on the opposite side of Mr. Bill's right there on that corner. It's also the service shop. So, and then you got next to that, you got the strip mall, the rich aluminum, plus the bowling alley. So we've got a large swath of the largest parking lot areas open right there in that corner already, and I don't have much of an appetite to extend that car lot field down Route 9 any more than we already have. And I thought we talked last time again about trying to come up with some different things to make that look nicer. Sounds like we're not doing that anymore. But I guess I just got to ask, not that it's my business, but I don't see, again, there's lots of room already devoted, lots of paved areas already devoted to that in this area. So I was kind of a little bit of let down to say we don't have a plan of any sort.
You know, I think we discussed this last time we were there, and, you know, if you take a right at that corner, I said this before, you have smashed up cars and everything else sitting there on that corner, you don't say anything about that. We're putting stone down. You don't want signs. You want the lighting. We're not putting lighting. We're not putting signs in. You know, an exit, if that's will feed you, which doesn't make sense, but because it's not for customer. It's for the wholesale, excuse me, picking up cars. No customers go over there.
Right.
I don't know the aesthetics of what you're looking for. Don't paint the curves. It was a lot there before. You put sheds there. No issue putting sheds there.
Sheds usually get parked in the grass. Vehicles don't get parked in the grass. Vehicles get parked on pavement. Sheds get parked in the grass.
Well, I think he's got a stone now.
No, we don't know what kind of stone. We're not sure what he's going to do. He hasn't really committed to that. That's probably just an opinion, I guess.
Hey, guys, I think the best thing that is over that little ground is tiny and it won't look like a mess.
Yep.
We're getting ready to do a $4 million
And my understanding is that this is going to end up with special
with a site plan review anyways.
Yes, all these are in the C1s all require a site plan review. And this is one that requires a special use permit as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as part of our special review, special use permit, our feeling is we need to look at the traffic and the use and things like that. We probably get into a lot of the aesthetics. I think that's site plan review.
Yes.
As much as anything else.
They'll really want to do that.
We can put conditions.
I brought that up at the last meeting. I was told that was an unfair burden to put on Mr. Smith, which I did not agree with then. I don't agree with now. I think it's a fair burden to put on him.
Yes.
Who have some sort of traffic, has some sort of evaluation of.
Well,
yes.
A traffic study.
I don't believe it. He's not going to have customers going in and out there, and I don't see that how that would affect the traffic or require traffic.
Right, I would agree with that. It's an observation.
Yeah, they're just part of that.
My only concern with the whole project right from the get-go was just to try to make it look a little bit nicer and just clean it up a little bit. That's it, you know, just.
And I believe that the key to that would be it goes to site review. I mean, we've got a list that was just read before you came in of the things that we talked about at the last meeting.
Understood.
And that can be submitted to the site plan review, as these are our recommendations.
Understood.
And the site plan can make the decisions, right?
What I advise, as we've done with special use permits in the past, is special use permit tends to go towards the operations of the use, the execution of it, and what reasonable parameters you want to set on it. So, I think things like no lighting, hours of operation, I mean, hours or, you know, delivery times, that kind of thing I think is appropriate. And then if you want to advise to the planning board that, you know, you'd like to see a landscaping plan as part of the site plan review, that could be part of the motion as well. But usually the special use permit goes towards the operations of the use, how it's executed, how it functions.
Right, we don't want any signage. That would be something we could.
Right, there's an example.
That's an example. We could add to our motion.
And that's a recommendation.
To approve it, there would be no signage, no lighting, no.
Those are conditions.
And I think that those are things that we should add to it. That way we know that that's what we've approved, and that's what. When it comes to them making it aesthetically pleasing, site plan review would be the ones that would really.
And it's not my intention. I looked at the minutes from the last meeting, and it's not my intention to make this a burden on a business owner. And, you know, it's just simply based on some feedback that I had that we had discussed in the last meeting. So it sounds like these guys are looking at taking some measures. It may take some time, but.
And I believe I said before you came in, I've been being very observant of the space. Everything has looked nice. There's vehicles going in and out, but it doesn't change much. They're always parked in nice lines.
It's been consistent.
Yeah.
So that's good.
My only question on the signage, we've talked about having directional flow. We've talked about improvements, beautification, different things to do at that corner. To me, a paved area with landscape and a sign that says this is a business is better than just a gravel lot that no one knows what's going on, and there's going to be direction. I don't know if we should make it a sort of strict requirement, or maybe specify that should be reviewed by the plan. I don't know if we want to make a determination for those guys in the planning board.
I think if you, I've got site plan review based on what he wants. He doesn't want a site that says enter and exit, because that's going to be drawing people in that he doesn't want going in there.
Right.
I mean, I think you'd be actually doing more harm to what we're trying to do here than good by putting a sign on. I think it really needs to be, the fact that it's not going to have constant traffic like you would have if it was a restaurant where people are going in and out. I have a comfort level with stone and being packed down properly, because you're not going to have the constant. We're not talking about 400 cars going in and out of that driveway.
No, we're not talking about a large vehicle, 7,000 pounds.
But stone gets moved with constant travel. It's the traffic that really makes stone.
I guess my concern would be that it's a prominent corner in the town. My concern is having a gravel lot in a prominent area. You just have an unmarked gravel lot And I know we all do what we can to keep the dust down, but we all know what happened in August. It is going to be dusty in August, right on Route 9. Mr. Bill's car out there is operational. I'm sure he might have some issues with the dust. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But again, I'm just concerned with a gravel lot in the middle of Route 9, prime real estate, prime area, and we're just going to have a gravel lot sitting there. I just don't know if, again, what the planning board can say, how much money can hinder them in our decision. But that's my 2 cents on it.
Those it's a lot. There's a fair point. The owner of the lot said back in February that there's not much he can do with the lot. It's not a buildable,
right.
Sustainable lot. It's been sitting there since God knows how long.
Since 3 acres were stored up.
And it's nobody's gonna come put a franchise. There's not much you can do there. There's not much going on.
And I understand what he said about dust from stone, but that's when we got a business and people are writing it out.
Yes. Right.
You know, we're not gonna have that kind of traffic. So I hear you, and I think that when it goes to site plan review, if they feel that way, then they should do that. But from where I'm sitting, I feel we can give them stipulations, no signage, no lighting, no more than 100 cars, and I have a comfort level with it. I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. If gravel's an issue, then we could take it off the table. I thought it was just more of keeping things so you didn't have mud.
No, I think gravel's fine. I just don't think he wants to do paving right
now. No, and I'm okay with gravel inside.
I think putting down, they're willing to put gravel in there, and I think it's going to be fine. I would want them to put gravel in there because we don't want the mud. I agree with you.
Right.
And that was one of the things we talked about. There's
right.
A big difference between putting gravel in and putting $180,000 in black.
Oh, sure.
You know,
sure.
You can control the dust and the gravel.
Yeah, proper wetting and proper polymers, any good sand you can do it. If you put on proper pressure one and a proper mix,
from what I know of Carriage Traders, I mean, if there's a problem with that being a dusty corner, they're going to fix it.
Oh, and that, yes. He doesn't want his cars getting dusty.
They're going to have that problem. But one question, if you roll your list, is it an expansion of your wholesale business? Is this an expansion of your wholesale business, or is this just a new trial?
No, we're expanding all the time, so I would say we're just having room on the lot. So we got to expand it in each other.
Not that that's particularly relevant, but I'm just. That's good.
Yes, that's always good.
Yes. Okay. I haven't heard anything from the public. I don't think we have anybody else.
Well, you can ask that question and see if anybody signs in for a question. So.
Okay. Does anybody have any further questions? Because I'm ready to close the public hearing here.
Give it a minute or so. Okay.
This is the new norm.
I just don't recognize everybody. You know, there's the other applicants around there, but there's some
other people observing. Yes.
People observing that I'm not sure if they're here to participate or not. So I don't see anything coming in. In the meantime, I'll just review what I have so far during the dialogue. As conditions, no signs, no exterior lighting, automobiles and light duty trucks only will be stored. A 100 car limit, no retail sales from the site, and then I've got resurfacing the lot with fresh gravel. That could go either way, and then I have a recommendation to the planning board at site plan review for submission of a landscaping plan.
Okay. So you're comfortable with the landscaping plan, I take it, Mr. Smith and Mr. Romeo?
Yeah, I'm going to do the gravel either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the planning board can move.
Well, that's
what they demand.
Yeah, that's up to them.
I like gravel, not another wrong rap, which I hate a lot.
And I don't know, does it make sense to have a requirement of a turnover of the vehicles that nothing stays there more than 60 days?
I think that's a little bit. I will say, from an enforcement standpoint, that's a difficult thing to enforce.
Yeah, how
would right? The 100 car limit would be the.
I think the 100 car limit is the key to it, and I'm sure that if if we ever saw that where there was cars sitting there with the tires went flat and all that, we can enforce that.
That's another salvage vehicle.
That's more important.
There's a truck sitting. There's a truck sitting there now with flat tires.
Oh, really?
But I don't think I'll do that. But his business, to his side of things, is his car dealership has been down. The wholesaler has been down.
Oh, I agree. Yes.
It's not up and running as normal hours.
It hasn't been working like it.
Right. So, I mean, 100 cars is fine because as of this morning, there were 17 cars in that front row. I drove 2 miles an hour down there. And were they four deep there?
Yeah.
That's four rows. So, I mean, it's not even 100 cars currently there. So, I mean, yeah.
I didn't see the car with flat tires.
Well, I think the point of no salvage vehicles.
That's a total of 7 conditions.
Yeah. So, that's more than enough conditions.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we had 25 on them just for music.
Well, let's not try to break a record, okay?
Was it 25?
Yeah,
it was
5. That was very, very difficult.
Okay. And I will post a public hearing. I haven't heard anything from
you. Yep, there's been nothing indicated.
And I ask for any other questions from the board? I think we've asked.
I haven't answered.
Should we get a motion from the board?
Oh, I would just, one other thing I would just say. Acknowledge that you're going to defer seeker to the planning board during site plan review.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask about
seeker. Okay.
Because you wouldn't want to segment it anyhow. Okay.
So actually, we need a motion then to defer seeker.
Okay, for appeal number 821, application for a special use permit, I'll make a motion to accept it with the conditions that were just...
Before we do that, let's defer...
Let's defer the seeker to planning review.
Yeah.
Site review by planning board. And then we will add those conditions that we just read. What was it? You said it was 7?
Yeah, I'll go over and give
it again.
You make your motion.
Okay.
Well, we'll put them in the second motion.
Yeah.
All right, this was the first... Oh, there's two motions. Pardon me, I'm sorry.
Right, so can I have a second on the motion to defer the seeker to the planning board?
I'll second that motion.
And I guess we'll pull the...
Well, Trish, are you still on? Trish?
Yes, I'm on. I'm having a very hard time getting any of this for a transcript. I'm supposed to be doing work for Word, and I cannot understand.
Well, the good news. The good news is I have a tape recorder running as a backup.
That's a good thing.
And would you poll the board, please, Trish?
Not sure. Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Simmons?
Yes.
Yes.
So we're referring the seeker to the planning board. Now I have a motion for the...
Now we can do appeal 821, an application for special use permit with 7
conditions. I'll go over them again.
Yes.
1, no exterior signage. 2, no exterior lighting. 3, only automobiles and light duty trucks are to be stored on site. 4, a 100 vehicle limit. 5, resurfacing the lot with fresh gravel. 6, no salvage vehicles on the site at any time. 7, no retail sales of vehicles from the site at any time. Oh, and then the recommendation going with that
for
that resolution would be a submission of a landscaping plan to the planning board during site plan review.
Second.
Can
you explain to me how that works, the recommendation of the site planning board?
I'm sorry.
How that works is the next thing that's going to have to happen now is this is going to have to come to site plan review with the planning board. And during that application, they're going to look to see that a landscaping plan is included as part of that submission, part of that application, for the planning board's review.
And then they'll want to apply to this whole thing after that?
Yep. But no, that's a separate board. You'll have to submit a separate application, hopefully next month. And at that time, the landscaping plan is reviewed by the planning board. Separate meeting, separate application.
Okay.
That's real bad, right? You need a second.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
Okay. Simple. Any further discussion? Would you call the board, please?
Trish?
Mr. Dawkins, yes. Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Manning?
No.
Mr. Farrell?
Yes.
Chairman Endo?
Yes. Okay, so appeal number 821 is approved.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. I'm going to shut off your mic now. Thank you for participating.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. So we'll move on to the next appeal, which is appeal 824, the request of Kelvin and Tanya Darling of 13 Marine Drive, South Winslow, New York, 1208, for a variance variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 10, Chapter 149, 69A, in Town Law 67B. Applicants are proposing to construct a two-car garage that will not meet the required side yard setback in the R1 Family Zoning District. This property is located 49-49. 41-9 on the town assessment map. And do we have any correspondence on this? Do we have any?
No, nothing was in the.
I noticed on the applicant's thing that it said something about letters from the police
from
neighbors.
Hold on, let me just make sure.
And this, I believe, I'm a neighbor of this property. I don't remember seeing a letter.
I know Kathy sent them out.
Okay.
Yeah, the list is here.
Actually, I own the property across the street from that car lot. Yeah.
You're on the list here.
Am I? Yeah.
Yeah. Quite a list.
Well,
Tanya, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's see. Yes, we do have correspondence here. We have a letter from Kevin Higgins. And let's see his name on the list here per se, but I can read that letter into the record if you'd like. Dear board members, I'm writing this letter on behalf of the Darnley family that resides at 13 Marine Drive in Southlands Falls. They have recently shared with me their desire to build an addition onto their current house. In the past 10 years of their ownership of the home, they have completely renovated the house inside and out, made many landscaping improvements that have been great neighbors. The addition that they are looking to build to accommodate their growing family and will keep them in our community and neighborhood. They have discussed with me the type of addition and placement on their property. They are going to be encroaching on the property line and will be seeking a variance to allow the property. They have my full support in pursuing this addition and variance as it will bring increased property value to the homes around it. This is, thanks for your consideration. This is signed by Kevin Higgins at 7 Marine Drive.
So that's not the next one.
I think I have one more.
This property is 13?
No. Actually, I have two more. Sorry. I'll read the next. To whom it may concern, my name is John Goodman, and I live 12 Marine Drive. Calvin asked me if I would mind him adding a two-car garage to his home at 13 Marine Drive, which is across the street from me. It is definitely fine with me, as Calvin and his family have done nothing but improve the appearance of their home and landscape. I would certainly expect the same from this endeavor. Sincerely, John Goodman,
and that was dated February 10th, 2020. There's been some lag time here with the delay. And then we have another letter. Dear board members, I'm writing this letter on behalf of the Darnley family that resides at 13 Marine Drive in Southlands Falls. They've recently shared with me their desire to build an addition on their current house. In the past 10 years of their ownership of the home, they have completely renovated the house inside out, made many landscaping improvements, and have been great neighbors. The addition that they are looking to build to accommodate their growing family and will keep them in our community and neighborhood. They have discussed with me the type of addition and placement on the property. They're going to be approaching the property line and will be seeking a variance to allow the project. They have my full support pursuing this addition and variance that will bring increased property value to the homes around it. Thank you for your consideration, John Mark Antonio, 9 Morgan Drive. And that is all the correspondence we have. So, 3 letters.
Is there any neighbors?
John Mark Antonio is.
John Mark Antonio is on.
Not exactly next door, but the next one over. Oh. I know that.
Where do you live?
Behind your name.
Okay.
I don't object. I really don't.
Let's see here. I'll check against at least the.
So behind him, definitely within the 500 feet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our lot is. This is my neighbor in the world over here. Mm-hmm. Right behind John Mark Antonio.
Oh.
So we have John Mark Antonio is on the list here on the screen.
So, Mrs. Darnley,
yes.
We usually just have applicants tell us something about what they're doing, so maybe we can ask them.
Sure. Also, my neighbor next door is on, Don Gettman.
Okay, I do see him on the list. I was looking for him. Okay, thank you for that.
Now, that's 11? Is that 11?
She's 15. Okay. Right.
Anyways, tell us what you're doing.
So we would like to add a two-car garage. We have a one-car garage. We have a ranch. We'd like to add a two-car garage in front of the one-car garage and the existing garage now would just be a family room. I guess in partly a lot of room entryway for the house. Unfortunately, we don't meet the requirements. We're only going to have 3 feet 6 inches because we're on the corner lot. Our lot is really irregular shaped. It's small in the front and larger in the back. And we can't build the garage back because our septic's right behind it. And on Dawn's side, the neighbor, 15 Marine Drive, all the houses our bedrooms are on that end. So we can't really reconfigure the layout of our house. The only option is in front of the driveway.
What's the width of the proposed addition at the front? I mean, I don't see it on the top on the drawing.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you repeat that?
The width of the garage. What will the width of the garage be when you've done it?
22 feet.
I don't think you could do much smaller than that for a two-car garage.
No, that's small.
So that is the bare minimum.
That's the minimum for two-car.
And your property, you're already... what is the side setback? The requirement is. What's the requirement for the side setback?
I think that drawing had it there. It's at the bottom right there, 15 feet from.
15 feet, isn't it?
15 feet. Yeah, I think it's 15 feet. Bottom right of that drawing right there. The red arrow is 12. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right.
It's 12 feet. It's 12 feet there?
Yeah, the reference in my notes. 12 foot minimum side yard setback. And I quantify the amount of relief there for you.
Okay. No, yes. Yeah.
In the R1 district.
person number 11 is the most impacted by this. Do we have anything from him?
I thought we did that.
No, I don't have anything from him.
Have you talked to him at all?
No.
But he did get a letter, I assume.
Yes.
Because that's where you're going to be closest. And I'm trying to, I guess the concern with being that close, you know, there's a number of concerns. And I know that's an odd shaped lot. There is also always the concern about access for a fire. But it looks to me like what we're looking at is there is room through his lot. You know, there isn't an awful lot of room right now from your lot anyways, on the side there. But it is very substantial.
That's a substantial.
Very substantial. And it is very close to the side of it.
It's really a function of two things: the papering lot, and then the placement of the home itself with the dwelling. If it were further back, there'd be some more latitude here. But
yeah.
And the reason they can't move that over further is there's a door right there.
Yep.
And yeah, I saw that.
I'm not sure.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, I think the floor plan of the home is not.
They're very limited. I was there, and we had a little discussion, and there's just not anything they can do.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the way the house is set up, it's coming directly out forward from the front of the house.
Mm.
It just happens to be the way the house is set. The concern in terms of access of emergency vehicles to the backyard, the onus then is on the neighbor to maintain that access.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It's just
they have access on the other side.
Yeah, yes. You're right. That's true. That's true.
Okay, we're not blocking the whole backyard off.
You're site plan indicates there's 22 feet on the other side.
Yeah.
Good point. Yes.
I just don't like it being that close to the line. That's false. So that would be the eve of the garage. So that can't be the garage. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so and that's really close.
So you got 3.5 feet, right?
Three and a half feet.
Then you get a tractor back there. That's but yeah, not gonna be a vehicle back there.
Oh yeah, well, the other side, but it's the fact that it's just so close to the line. I mean, that's really close.
When you say the garage is going to be 22 feet, you do realize that that has to be from the eaves to the eaves.
Yes.
Okay. So you're and I don't know. I don't think that your house has really a huge. Well, it has a pretty decent opening. So you'll just have to work with your builder to make sure that's done right.
And that neighbor would have gotten, the neighbor that's on that side would have gotten a letter.
I would assume. I can blame my lack of a letter on the postal service. We kept changing our minds about when we're coming home. Are there any other comments from folks on the line here, do we have anything else?
I could turn on, I see
see Mr. Mark Antonio was initiated. I could elect to see if he wants to speak. Mr. Mark Antonio?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have you, provided you audio access here. If you'd like to, if there's anything you'd like to say about this application.
I appreciate that. So, Mr. Rangel, you might be aware, you know, the house that is directly next door to me has been the focus of a lot of police activity and a lot of undesirable activity. For them to be encroaching on that property line, you know, my understanding with a garage is not going to impact the lives of the folks that are there now. And anybody that would be buying the house in the future would come in there with the understanding that, you know, it's a pre-existing construction. I know my house in one stall also when I go there. My garage would be 1 foot from the property line on both sides. And it never impacted my interactions with my neighbors or, you know, quality of life issues.
11 Marine Drive is on the list. They were more.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wants to speak to this? I'm going to just review the requirements for a area variance. We do tend to be, you know, it's a way of the benefits of the applicant versus the detriment to the neighborhood. The first requirement is that the abstract application, the dimensional requirements will require the ultimate specified practical difficulty to the applicant. And because of the shape of the lot and the curve in the road, I think that kind of creates this difficulty that's would be a problem. And I think you pointed out the secretary, the need for the fact that the garage needs to be in proper side of the house, not the bedroom side of the house. You need to go to a septic in the center of the property that would prevent you from doing anything back there. The next is how substantial the request of variance in relation to the requirements. And it is quite substantial. I don't know, what was the percentage? 71%. So it is a substantial, it is certainly substantial.
Mm-hmm.
Variance.
I do have Eugene Rudolph here. He is putting his hand up to talk. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Rudolph.
Hello.
Are you there? I just saw the symbol come up, so you're able to talk. And I also have Don Getman. She's put her hand.
Yes, I'm here, and I resent the fact about that police comment remark. I can't hear, and I'm 85 years old. But I have a bedroom next to that fence with a 10-foot, 10-by-10 screened-in porch there where I go out in the summer enjoying the breezes. He wants to put up a 15-foot or 12-foot wall right there, get into the side of his garage and turn it into a blue garage. He has plenty of acres behind the house to build things. He's constantly building, but he needs garage space. He can put it in the backyard. I don't want to be out on my little screened-in porch and have 10 feet away a 15-foot wall or 12-foot wall going down the side of the property line. He enhances the value of his property and destroys mine. And because my daughter is in prison, he doesn't have the right to start making comments about that. That's none of his damn business. My business is the protection of the value of my property. And I need that he can't use that and give me no air space and no sunlight just to block everything out.
So your contention is that
hello?
Yes. Your contention is that the garage there is going to block your
porch? Was it a porch, is it?
Your porch?
Mr. Rudolph?
Yeah, the other neighbors don't object. Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure where the, I can't, I'm looking at the picture, but I don't see that. I mean, you know, I don't see it blocking your porch. I mean, it's not a good picture either, so it's hard to tell.
To my recollection, I'm not sure how it would really detract from him enjoying his porch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fresh on my mind. I respect his feelings.
Yeah.
But I'm having a hard time with the garage. It's going to be set a little forward, well forward, where, if I remember correctly, where his porch and his home is.
Here's a color photograph of my phone. You can see it's like the trees.
Yeah, and there is some foliage in there as well.
Well, the front, not the side. Correct. People are more out of the way beyond this. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
You take a look at that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was over there going by. I used to take a picture on a phone that isn't colorful, so I didn't look back at my picture.
I looked at it this morning, you know, myself, and again, and went by a couple
I just think that your feet sits up on the line where it is the other. It's correct.
I think that's what I'm close to the one on.
It is.
I mean, the reason that they put 12-foot setbacks is physically because that's what the town wants you to have. Right. And that's all. Can I take a quick picture?
Sure. The color margin is a little bit easier. Yeah. See, there's the corner of the porch there. And there's mm-hmm. those property lines aren't correct. It's
right.
GIS.
Right. Right.
So it's here and here. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
I mean, it's already tight. Mm-hmm. It's already tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the house where it is right now is a little bit tight.
It's 13 feet.
Right. Bringing it forward and making it a little bit tighter, you know, if it was me, I would hope, you know, I'd like to think that I would be understanding of the neighbor's situation and say, geez, you know, if it was me, I'd like the neighbor to understand that we have no other options here. But I can't tell Mr. Rudolph what he should think and how he should feel. So but to your point, I understand that's what setbacks are for, but that's what appeals are for also.
Yeah, yeah. I was involved in an appeal that we got permission to build on it. And so when you're doing construction with that little bit of property, how do you build that building that step on the neighbor's property?
Exactly.
So that's
4 feet in the ground, so they use scaffold pretty much. Oh, had it earlier.
You almost have to be on the neighbor's property to the construction.
I do work in downtown San Antonio, unfortunately, he's done with the parking lot.
Well, it's a real, it came over from the contract that we had, and it became a real issue. I mean, I think it's definitely something you have to think about when you're talking about that small of a setback.
No question, man.
This is a garage, right? You're not doing a full basement there, Mrs. Darnley. This is just a garage, so you got 4 foot crosswall, I assume.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
There's no full basement below the addition, right? It's just going to be a garage only.
Yes,
we're out of the hole. So, a 4 foot hole dug to put in footings. At least 4 foot. Or more like the 5.
I'm saying we're not going to 8 and 9 foot either.
No, I hear you.
It's so tiny to me.
And they're going from a 1-car garage to a 2-car garage.
We also have a Don Getman. Don, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Did you have something to say?
I was just going to point out I'm the neighbor on the other side, and there's plenty of room for emergency access to the back of the house from my side of the property. So as far as emergency access, that really isn't an issue.
Mrs. Gettman, do you feel like this would devalue? I know you're not a real estate agent, and you're not you're probably not an expert on home valuations, but do you feel like this would detract or devalue Mr. Rudolph's home?
I don't. I walk frequently in the neighborhood, and walking by, it doesn't seem like it would be that close to the porch. I can see his concern maybe with the breeze, but it there's a lot of trees around it and stuff, so I'm not sure how much breeze it gets anyway. But as far as how close it is, I mean, in downtown Sun Falls, there's tons of properties way closer. Even in downtown, you know, like the town of South Sun Falls, there's properties way closer. That, you know, I don't think it costs the value of the house with a little bit of space
for the garage.
anything, I would think it would increase the property value because it would increase the Darnley's property value, and they go by average property value in the area. So that's one of the reasons that I'm for it, is when their property goes up, it helps my property.
And you're correct.
Mr. Gatlin, do you have anything to say?
Yes, Mr. Rudolph.
Rudolph, I'm sorry.
Mr. Rudolph.
Mr. Rudolph, do you have anything more to add to this?
Yes, I have something to say. Yes. He has alternatives in his backyard. There's a huge gateway back there. He could put 20 car garages behind his house. He don't need it next to mine. And because my daughter's in prison, and these neighbors don't think that's such a good thing, I can't help that. I can't change that.
No, I don't.
A 15-foot wall, 10 feet away from my screened-in deck there, just because he wants to put a garage in, add a garage on. He has other alternatives.
That's what we're here to talk about and what we're to discuss. And we're going to try, we are going to very much stick to the relevant things about property values and the detriment to the community or benefits to the community. I hear what you're saying. I've been by there to my, you know, as I said, I think other members have, and said, you know, I don't see it being that close to your screen. It's actually, the house is closer than the proposed addition, I believe, from what I can see.
I think that's a fair assessment.
So
that's correct.
And I do, there are alternatives, but I have a real problem with this kind of a setback, with this small setback. But I also understand that, you know, putting a garage in that back corner of that lot doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't add to the property, it detracts from the property. It looks like, you know, the homes that they have, like they have sheds or barns, and nothing wrong with barns.
Yes, we kind of love barns.
Yes, that's okay. But it's not a garage. It's not a suitable location for a garage, as far as I'm concerned. So, the notion of the septic tank, I've been on this board a long time, and I don't think we've ever asked anybody to move the septic tank.
No. Not one of them either.
I do have a great concern about that big a setback, but I think that it's only justified by the shape of the lot and the fact that this lot is on a curve, which makes the front. They're just weird lots back there. And I think all you folks that have lots back there know that. I will continue on with reading the requirements. The next is that the difficulty cannot be alleviated by some practical and efficient method feasible for the applicant to pursue. And I think Jim said, made this point well, the tapering lot with contributes to the limited site area, and apparently the floor plan as well and limits possibilities for location of the new family room garage, and that makes sense. there will be no substantial change. Next requirement is that there will be no substantial change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to adjoining properties. While I understand, Mr. Rudolph, what you're saying, what I'm seeing and what I've seen is that this garage is built would be quite a bit forward of that adjoining house and wouldn't shade that from what I can see. It's kind of the nature of this curved road there that all the houses tend to be pretty close together up front. So I don't think it would be a substantial change in character. And that the last is that the variance would not be material detrimental to the purpose of the chapter or the property in the district in which the property is located, or conflict with other objectives or et cetera, variance. And that the variance is a minimum variance which would alleviate specific practical difficulty. To me, a 22-foot garage is a minimum variance.
Oh, it's a garage.
That's pretty typical, 2-foot-car garages today. But again, it's a huge variance.
No question. And I understand that, and I can appreciate and respecting Mr. Rudolph's feelings.
We do. I do too.
We all truly do. But I also have to, our job also is to consider the applicant as well, so.
Well, we have to weigh the detriment to the community, to the neighborhood, that person, to the benefit to the applicant.
Right.
I personally don't see any other way that the applicant can get this benefit.
And that is true. I understand Mr. Rudolph's point. There's a lot of room back there. I got to take a peek, but to me, the only way to access that would be to build a driveway on this west side of the home. And I just don't see that as a practical solution for these folks.
So having reviewed the conditions for a granting variance, I will end the public hearing. Unless anybody else on there?
I don't see anybody with their hand raised. They are still on. I just don't see anybody indicating any further comment.
So we'll end the public hearing, and we don't need to do any secret on this, I think.
Correct. It's an area variance. It's a type 2 act.
And we'll move on to request a motion from the board.
I'll make the motion that we accept appeal 8.4, granting the 71% relief requested on the front corner of the 12-foot minimum side yards setback.
And a second?
A second.
And you understand, Mrs. Darnley, that this has to be to the eaves of the garage?
Yes. Yes,
that's a big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal.
Mr. Dark, can I ask, would it be too much of an imposition to have an as-built done at the time of completion in terms of a survey? Because it is a substantial amount of relief, and we want to make sure this comes out to the forecast, dimension. Right. So I think it might be reasonable to have an as-built, submitted at the time of the completion of the improvement.
Have they had the line marked?
Well, it's...
When I built my barn, I had the guy come over and mark the line. You put space line, there it is, there's my building,
I think that's
there's the line.
I just recommend that being reasonable in light of, we do have the direct adjoining neighbor, in opposition.
It's not that expensive to have them just shoot the line and put a couple stakes out. They'll come over and do it and they make that.
We can have that built, prior to the issuance of the
season. Then there's no question whether it's 3 feet, 6 inches, or it's 2 feet, 6 inches.
Right.
And that's a huge, when we're giving this much relief, it's a huge change if it was to be a foot off. That could be huge. So I think that's something we should request.
Mrs. Darnley, does that sound reasonable?
Yes, but I guess I don't know exactly what that is. I'm sorry, my husband's working night, so he's not on this video chat.
Okay, let me explain. You're forecasting by your application a 3-foot, 6-inch setback, and the board just has a pending resolution to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So what an as-built is as you go to set the foundation and ultimately the building and then ultimately the eave, surveyor comes to the site and confirms that distance as being 3-foot, 6 inches.
And then
they provide you a survey, which everybody who comes in the office here at the planning department, I always recommend to people to have a survey of their property. If you don't have one...
We did have a survey.
Oh, perfect. Then if you do already, then I would recommend that same surveyor would be the most cost-effective person to come back and have them survey it. I would do it at the time you're digging your foundation to make sure that you're there.
Okay.
That's just a recommendation, but an as-built is the as-built condition. In other words, it updates the survey to show where the building actually lies in relationship to the property line.
Okay.
that when you have the foundation hole dug for the frost wall.
Yep.
Do it at that time to make sure that things are lining up. And my point is, you don't have the building already all up and find out that you're off by 2 feet.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Yes, that's very important.
And we can discuss this further. When you come in for your building permit, we can discuss this further at that time.
Okay.
But it's just cautionary, and it's ultimately going to help you out, so this is built the way you intended to be built.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Very good.
We'll have one condition?
Yes.
Thank you, Jim.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That's very important.
Okay, so we had a second, and we... one condition?
Yeah, and as built, you provided the timeless certificate of occupancy. Okay.
So, Fisher, would you poll the board?
Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Goodson?
Yes.
Mr. Farrell?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Thurman?
Yes. Okay, so appeal number 824 is approved. The next appeal is appeal number 825. It's a request of Ronald Kowalski of 8 Christie Lane, Monroe, New York, 12808, for an area variance subject to Chapter 129, Section 149-59A and Town Law 267. The applicant proposing to place a pre-built shed on his property will not meet the required side yard setbacks. Property located on the corner lot in the R212 family zoning district and designated as 77.6-1-20 on the town assessment map. Mr. Kowalski, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Could you just briefly describe what you're doing?
Sure. My intention is to purchase and locate an 8x8 log shed along the property line, eastern side of my property line, with my neighbor to put in a log shed for the wood that I had cut down from my property. That particular east section right there is fairly close to where I'm building and would like to have the shed. It's a very, very small property. So it allows me to get easy access to the wood that I need for partially heating my house during the winters. And it also gets rid of the right now currently approximately 40 feet of logs that I have stressed along the property line and hopefully get rid of all of that to make my property look a lot more beautiful and nice.
Okay. And this is the relief that you're looking for is about 100 feet.
100%.
I'm sorry, you're right.
You have a correspondence.
The 15 foot, the 15 foot setback, right?
We're going to say shelter along the walk of the eastern side, which is that the thing is about 216 feet, and I'm looking for just the approval to have shed put along that property line. It's a wooded section along that entire length of the 216 feet.
I guess my question is, why not put it 15 feet from the property line?
I can answer that.
I mean, if I go 15 feet closer to my prior property, probably put it within 10 feet of my house. Number one, because of the winter runoff in the spring, it will actually impede the runoff of water and snow, which normally runs down to my other shed and flood that area. It would actually put it at a high point along the property line so that it would stay dry. So that it would
And the pictures that you have in this submission, those are samples of this
shed,
the shed, right?
No. That is the actual shed that I have purchased.
Okay.
So I put a deposit down that will be moved and relocated once I get your
approval. Okay. So it's a pre-built shed and it just moves in, gets moved into your onto your property.
Yes.
I guess, you know, okay, the moving it in that location, where else would you move? Is there no place else in that property you could put it?
The alternate slot that I had put up in the drawings were for the closure to this shed that I had.
Yeah.
We also required me to raise up in the tent shed.
Just because
four shrubs.
It's
he's
also got some shrubbery there that didn't want to have to pull out. And he also, he's 68, and he's, I think he's going to store firewood in there, and he wants it to be a little bit closer. But that shed's already on
the ground. Yes, that's it.
We do have some correspondence with the people who wrote the. It's a neighbor, and he's also they're also on the
okay.
line here. So,
can we hear from them?
Yes. Do you want to go to the public hearing?
Yes.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to read we did get correspondence in the mail from Jason and Regina DeBella, and I'll read that letter now, and they're also on the line here. Subject is the 8x8 log shed at 8 Christie Lane, appeal number 825. Dear Zoning Committee members, please be advised we, Jason and Regina DeBella, residing at 6 Christie Lane, are opposed to the location of the 8x8 shed being located in the side yard between our property and our neighbor's property. Ronald and Mark Marcy Kowalski are requesting the above mentioned shed to be located closer to the property line than the town's guidelines. Their current wood pile is currently causing a nuisance with excessive amount of chipmunks living in and around it. These rodents have begun to make a home in our gutters, under our pool heater, near and around our vehicles. We would prefer to have the shed be located to the other side of their property where there is ample room for the above-mentioned shed and not closest to our driveway where the chipmunks have been living. Sincerely, Jason and Regina DeBella. And they're on the line as well, as I said, and I have unmuted them. So, I don't know, Regina and Jason, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear him?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to start up. We think very highly from the Marsha. We're not opposed to the shed itself. What we're opposed to is where they're requesting. So the actual location of the shed on the property line. Yes, there are trees right now. We're not sure if they're going to remain there. Because honestly, the pine trees are, they're always on our cars. So, eventually we wanted to put a fence. We just didn't want to have any issues regarding on the property line.
Okay.
And we're not opposed to the alternative spot for the shed.
Okay, anything from the board?
My question would be, would it work for him if we did some relief?
Right.
Rather than this 100% relief, if we did, let it be 7 feet off the line, would that be, you know, or 7.5 feet off the line, something like that, maybe 50% of it?
I was there again, and you guys were probably there.
Mm-hmm.
Jason brings up a point. He wanted to possibly in the future put up a fence. I had not considered that. An initial assessment was I would grant the relief even though it's 100% because there is that buffer. But Jason and Regina are expressing some concerns regarding some future plans, which in light of that fact, I agree that maybe we could make some sort of a compromise, because I understand Mr. Kowalski's point, and I can see where there's a potential issue with water, and that back part of the property. He expressed to me some concerns also about possibly having to make some changes to his sprinkler system and pull out some existing shrubbery. And also given the fact that he said he's 68 years of age and has some health issues, he just wanted that shed to be a little bit closer for ease of access. So is there a possibility that we can compromise, to your point, and bring it a little bit closer to the house, I guess would be something for Mr. Kowalski. Right.
Well, it's actually short. This is for transport of wood.
So Mr. Kowalski, if you're saying that's a high point on your property, that's why you want it there. Am I correct?
Well, it's a high point because it would clearly keep the shed and the wood that I have there dry.
Right, right. So, and anywhere else, pretty much anywhere else in the property, you're telling us that you'd have to build it up to keep it dry.
The alternate site that I put on the drawings, would I have to remove the shrubbery and flowers, I would probably have to bring in probably some crushed stone to raise it up, probably at least 6 inches, just like I did to the existing shed, so that I can keep it out of water.
And so anywhere else on the property, that would be a problem.
The property line from Finnett to Cashmere, probably 95% of the time in the spring is flooded. And has water problems. So, to me, that almost eliminates that particular area because it's not only farther away from me. Very good, but it also, I probably would have the potential to raise it up, maybe closer to a foot. And that's now causing some serious noise.
So, how do you feel about that? Go ahead. All right. How do you feel about compromising and bringing that further away from the property?
Well, I mean, if I can, sit with Jason or Janet and if they don't, if we can look at the property and say, if we come to an agreement, I don't really have a problem with that.
Okay. Because I think their point about potentially wanting to build a fence in the future is a good point.
Right.
It's also maintenance of the shed. If they did put a fence in there, you'd have no access. It'd only be 1 foot off their property line. So you'd have no way to access the backside or maintain your shed that close to the property line either. So I think you need some sort of minimum setback. We just kind of asked them over a 3.5 foot setback, which really is the ease. So you're 4 foot the building structure. So you really have 4.5 feet. We're just talking about that being considerably tight. Been way out of for a while. To go with a zero setback, I'm not comfortable with that at all. So we need to go with some sort of compromise and back off of a zero setback. The alternate site, I understand, is not ideal, but that one is code compliant. So I think compromise between the alternate site and the zero, 100% relief, I think is a fair request. I would say at least need a 5 foot minimum.
I'd want to be
15 foot 7.5 feet.
I would say 7.5 feet.
And that's our substantial threshold, correct?
That to me is substantial.
In the rule,
that we don't normally, that 3.6 is way over beyond what we normally need.
We've always been comfortable with 50%.
We don't even usually do that. So, I think that. But looking at where it was located, looking at his yard, looking at, I don't think that would impact the neighbors that much of a 7.5 foot off the line. I think that it would still give him the ability to put his shed roughly where he wants to put it, or sort of in a little bit further. I don't always have a comfort level with these things, but I'm willing to look at that if that would work for him.
Would 7.5 feet work for you off the property line, Mr. Kowalski?
I think if you would bring the shed out farther out, I would agree if it was agreeable to everyone, I would possibly agree to
Now that does, if you have the line marked and do an as-built, like we requested on the last one.
Well, this is a much easier situation to accommodate, because the shed's essentially on skids. But I would like to see an as-built. But it isn't like a
fixed. Well, yeah, it's not a fixed, right?
It is adjustable, yeah. But it would be nice to verify its location once he's got it positioned.
I have to be honest, Mr. Kowalski, though. I mean, I'm uncomfortable doing anything more than 50% because I don't see anything extraordinary about this lot.
Right.
I know that there's a water issue, and I know there's some other issues with your sprinkler, but sprinklers are relatively easy to move, I believe.
Oh, they're reasonable.
You know, and I don't. And building up a what you set up a building like this on is not that complicated.
I think we're pushing it up at the percent. I think we're kind of accommodating, and we're, because we always have to look at this is an imposes on the neighbor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're imposing on the neighbor. There's supposed to be a 15-foot setback. That's what the rules are. And you have to have a real strong reason, like with the previous applicant, that they couldn't add on any other way, they couldn't have septic behind. I hear the water issues, but you know, that's fairly easily remedied with a little bit of raising the shed up and doing things like that. So, and that's a temporary issue.
If it comes to the point that you would accept 7.5 feet, so wide.
Okay. I just want to say that's great. If a fence is built there, it's kind of a moot point, though, right? I mean, as soon as you erect a fence, the shed becomes, you know, you're closed off.
Well, I'm still going to have the 7.5 feet behind it, and I think that's plenty.
There's also a significant distance between the two properties.
Yeah, but that doesn't really play a point on the line. I mean, when we're giving a variance on a property setback, a line setback, there really has to be a justifiable reason. I mean, it really has to be a big imposition on the applicant, a cost factor. All those things play into this. And I hear what he's saying, and there is some impact to him. And I think we can mediate that with a 7.5 foot setback. I think that's being very generous.
What we're here for is to prevent there being an unreasonable application of the law. But the law is 15 feet, and the town made that law for a reason.
Right.
So to change that, there has to be a good reason.
We have to be very careful with those changes. We have to be able to justify them.
You can't be willy-nilly.
And it can't be that it's, well, I got to move a sprinkler head. Well, a sprinkler head is a big imposition. If it was a septic system you had to move, that's a huge imposition. That could come around 20 grand. And you raise the shed a foot. That's not a big imposition. I think we're being extremely generous at going to 50% in this. And I think I would hope that the neighbors were comfortable with that, because it has an impact on them.
And can I speak to the neighbors? Are the neighbors there?
Yes, we're still on. Mr. DeBella, are you still there?
Yes, we are. We're still here. We're not opposed to the 7.5. Okay. And just for the record, I mean, money-wise, right now, we're not erecting a fence.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't matter.
That could be down the road. That could be
right. We like Marsh & Marsha. We think very highly of them. They're very nice neighbors. We don't want any convenience there. But like you said, I mean, the property line, that was our concern, and we have no problem with meeting that more than halfway, 50%. We're okay with that.
You know, it's Mr. Kowalski, I understand your concern, and you've made good points about the water and all the rest of the stuff. And you know, it is reasonable to have your woodshed close to your house, and, you know, convenient to you. Those are all reasons why area variances are fairly easy to get, but they're not supposed to be. They're not rubber stamps either. The law is the law.
No, I think we're compromising with this. And I think that'll work for them. I looked at this property. I don't think that should ever look bad being 7.5 feet out of that line where it's sitting. It'll be convenient for them. So,
having said all that, I think we've covered the requirements for the variance to difficulty cannot be alleviated by some practical method other than, and we've compromised on that. We are at the kind of threshold that we've used over the years for 50% variance is the place where we sort of say no more than that. Unless, like the last one, is very exceptional. And then the next one is that there be no substantial change in the character of the neighbor or detriment to adjoining properties. I don't see that being a problem. Then the variance would not be material detrimental to the purpose of this chapter of property in the district in which the property is located or other conflict. Otherwise, conflict with the policy of the town. And I think it doesn't. And we have a motion.
Did you still want to do the confirmation of the setback and survey? Is
I like that because it solves it. If the neighbors, as we've had happen before, if the neighbors sell their house and another neighbor moves in and he questions that shed, and we don't, and we gave him 7.5 feet and it's 5 feet away from the line, it becomes, he doesn't have to give us an as-built, but if he can give you, if he can have that line marked for us so we know that he's 7.5 feet off, that would be helpful.
So it's conditioned upon confirmation of the lot boundary.
Yes.
I have no objection to it. If I bring Skinny and Jason over to my house when I get it delivered, and he tells me where to put it, and that's where I'll put it.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good to me. 100%.
I think we're okay with that.
Thank you, guys.
So we close the public hearing.
I'll make a motion. An appeal number 825 for variance or setback that we give him 50%, which is 7.5 feet off the line, with the condition that he will get verified that that's 7.5 feet.
With the neighbor. The other thing, just to remind you, Mr. Kowalski, this is subject to a building permit, so you need to come in for a permit for the shed.
Okay.
Even though it's prefab and all that, it still needs a permit. Okay. Fair enough. Great.
Very good. Any further discussion?
I'll second the motion.
Okay.
Would you poll the board, please?
Jones?
Yes.
Simmons?
Yes.
Farrell?
Yes.
Manning?
Yes.
Thurman?
Yes. Okay. So, rule number 825 is approved.
Did you have anything further, Mr. Delavella? Or Mr. Delavella?
I did. Just to be clear, so how are we confirming the actual property line? Us? Or the survey? Or how? Or is someone from the Zoom survey coming out?
It's to be agreeable between you and Ron. As to the location of the line, and then where the shed gets placed with respect to the line. And I think Matt Dreinoe, the building and code enforcement officer, should be there to verify the location of the shed. That'll be required as part of the permit.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sheldon.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Very reasonable. All around. Okay.
Didn't have the air on here tonight. Save the money.
That's it?
Okay.
Okay.
We'll go to the business. Meeting is adjourned.
Okay. It is not recording.
Okay. We like it.
Nice job, guys.
Worked out pretty well.
I hope. I got the app when I came in here. I didn't plan on giving them anything. That water issue is my entire life.
You don't understand what you guys are saying.